Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Come on, praise God, everyone. Praise God. Give Him all the glory. Give Him the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Your goodness, Lord, your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Amen, everyone. How are you all? Are you good? Turn to the person next to you and say, hey. Hey. Are we doing well? Are you staying out of trouble, Hotters? Never staying out of trouble. They just haven't caught you yet, Hotters. Don't worry. That's a Jackson and I special, that one. That we love that. At golf, we say to all the guys at golf, how you going, mate? Staying out of trouble? They haven't caught you yet. Ah, ha, ha. You know, is this whole gag. Anyway, we love it. We love it. I can't wait to speak today, everyone. I feel God's got a word for you. I've been praying all the last weeks just getting ready for this. I feel like I'm chomping at the bit. I'm overflowing with revelation today about the upside down kingdom and how we are part of it. And one day out there in the northern beaches in Sydney, there is going to be the right way up kingdom, because all of us are going to be not just come and tell, but not just come and see, but go and tell all out through the community. And today it's particularly talking about how we can be generous with our money, with our lives, and the heart of generosity. So would you pray with me as we begin today? Lord God, I pray, God, that you speak to every person here today, God. God, that your power would move through them mightily, God. That out of today, they'd be convicted, they'd be convinced that they have such a part to play in the upside down kingdom, where it doesn't make sense, where the word of God is their shepherd, God, where you are their shepherd. And Lord, just show us a new part of who you are today, God. Lord, you are our Savior. Jesus, you saved us. But you don't just live as our Savior, you are also our teacher, Lord. And we just come under the teaching of Jesus today. We come under the teaching, words, and power that have all authority on heaven and in earth. We take that to our heart this morning, Lord God. And I pray that thorns don't choke this, Lord, that the word would be planted in good soil here this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody here said amen. Come on, amen. Give it up for Jesus. So good to be with you all today. Shout out Ness and Tris leading us in worship so well. Love you guys. So anointed. Honestly, it was fantastic. Take your seats, everyone. Take your seats. Amen. Here we go. TYBs are ready at the lap, ready to go. My goodness, the youth team. I also love our youth parents. Someone, if you're a parent here, we love you guys, all our youth mums and dads. We love Lito and Amy Escort. These guys are heroes. Lito's amazing. Comes, drops the kids off at youth, then rolls back to his workshop. He fixes, you know, Makita and Milwaukee tools for a living. His garage is like the size of, you know, this whole room. And he's fixing tools. And he has a little connect group with all the dads down there in the workshop while youth's on. And that's what we want. Parents that are on mission too. Not just drop off the kids, it's up to you. You know, they're planting, sowing, reaping in their people too. So bless you guys. Amen. So let's dive in, guys. Eloise is at our North Sydney location. She's doing well. She's 23 weeks pregnant, and she's popping. She's getting ready. We're getting the 3D scans, and you can see all the features of the baby. It's so exciting. Cannot wait. She's going to be at summer camp, Pastor Al, and she'll be, I think, about same as Jessen, at 32 weeks pregnant or something, 33 weeks. So she can't wait for the hot summer with that one. So just sweating and you sweat at summer camp, but if you're pregnant with 34 weeks, you must sweat so much more. So keen, guys. Come to summer camp. Come to summer camp. Bring it back. There's Jackson. We love those guys, the Pierces, leading our Ox Youth. Come on, Jackson's preaching tonight. We love it. And we're talking about today, living in light of eternity. Living in light of eternity. And Jesus isn't just our Savior, but our teacher. and unpacking these scriptures in Matthew that we have the past few weeks make such an impact on your life when Jesus isn't just your savior, but your teacher. And he's going to unpack so much today. And I want to be very clear today. This is like talking about money and generosity, but I want to be very clear. This isn't about asking for money or even like the act of giving. Leon's just given us the message of that. I want this to be really about the heart of generosity today. A heart of generosity. And, you know, it's like the woman, the widow, and all her might with those two copper coins. It's far less about how much, but far more important about the heart of where your heart is at. And what's your attitude towards giving generously? Are you being generous and are you being transformed in your inner being, putting your flesh to death and letting your soul prosper? Where is that in your life? And we give our time, our possessions, our money as we do, but it changes us from the inside out to be more like Christ himself. It is an upside down kingdom, truly indeed. And we're going to unpack three slabs of scripture, which I'm going to show you. But firstly, to set that up, I just wanted to give a bit of an intro. I want to set the stage. And I've been reading so much from two pastors, John Tyson and John Mark Comer, who lead churches and are Christian theologians in America, in Portland and in New York City. And they've got such rich revelation. I want to sort of unpack a bit, where in Luke 12, verse 15, there's some offensive stuff Jesus is saying. So I hope this hurts your flesh, okay? Sell all your possessions and give to the poor. Watch out. That's in Matthew. In Luke, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of an abundance of possessions. Well, what about the retirement plan? What about my hex debt? What about the cost of living? Jesus goes on, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, or about what you'll wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothes? Seek first the kingdom of God. And so, okay, I need money to pay the bills. I need to get through living in Sydney. The rent is rising. The interest rates are rising. Am I expected just to pray all day long and not work? Honestly, like... But Mark, he records, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. So is wealth deceitful? Is that what Jesus is saying here? Like, is it a personified con artist? It has this suffocating effect on the soul. And when my flesh hears that, I'm like, I'm not listening to that. I want stuff, you know, I like stuff. You know, leave me alone, you know. And what Jesus is getting at is our flesh in our heart. And now I can hear you getting defensive. I did too. And I'm like, but if I'm poor, everyone else is poor, are we all just expected to sell all our possessions and live on the street? No, not at all. So this isn't this thing of like this poverty mentality. We don't live there. We are so blessed on the northern beaches to have what we have, to live in the homes we live in, and to invest and be able to leverage money as an amazing tool to bless people around us. And many of you might have investments, might have money, and might work great jobs and all of that. And today, I don't want to put a spectrum on if you earn lots and don't. Like, this applies to every single person in the room, no matter who you are. You, a teenager, don't even have a job, this applies to you because it's about your heart. That's what it's all about. And so this is what we're going to get to today. Because in Timothy, there are these instructions that really, he says, God wants to richly provide for you. He wants to bless you for your enjoyment. So we are here to be blessed, to be a blessing. And in Acts, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And notice this, that's not a command. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's not even a law. It's a counterintuitive observation of the human condition. It's just the way life works. You cannot serve both God and money. Once again, it's not a law. It's not says you should not serve both God and money. It says you can't. Your human makeup cannot do it. Man, the power in these scriptures, and this is life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. It doesn't say don't go buy three pairs of shoes. It doesn't just state you know, all these things that, like the world says, it actually is the way life works in the upside down kingdom. And this is where the kingdom's going to turn upside down one day, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And we are going to be worshiping and praising in all eternity, where all the treasures of heaven are going to trump everything on earth. And so let's unpack this today, amen? Come on. So I work in building, right? And I love building. I love building, and we are here doing a talk with the clients. What are we going to build today, right? And they said, all we need is this one kitchen cabinet handle changed. It's fallen off. It's rusted out. Can we just swap out that one handle? And then it's like, oh, we may as well do all the handles. You know what? Like, let's just get them all fixed. We've got to make a match, right? Nat, the interior designer, you can't have one odd handle, you know? And then like, man, should we just get a new cabinets in the kitchen? Oh, surely, let's just do the whole kitchen. And then the next minute, we're moving the whole kitchen to the other side of the home. We're knocking down the whole place. We're like building 10 other homes and 10 other kitchens. And it's like, it just goes on and on and on. And it's this hilarious thing in building, like, because these people, they want to build. And hey, it's a good thing. But I want to say, what's the other flip? Do we have a regard for those that are in need? Do we have a regard for those? So this is where we're going to land for the scripture. So let's open up Matthew 6. This is where we're sitting today. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. And this is my first point. Do not store up treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. So let's read this together. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this is a cool context to unpack in the city of Jerusalem and in this time where Jesus is speaking and talking with all the people around all the cities and areas around. There's a rich part of the city and a poor part of the city. In the rich part, they're all filled with cultural elites. You know, there's modern homes, there's luxury privilege. And then downtown, out of sight of all the rich people, are the poor. And all the sewer and all the junk all flows downstream all through them, and they don't even care and look into it. Most people as well lived outside the Jerusalem walls and in the villages where they would, do agriculture and sow and plant. And there was this person, Herod the Great, and he was only called the Great because of his great power to build. He built and really oppressed the poor through aggressive taxation. And so if you were fishing, if you were reaping grain, you would come and say, hey, I've got some fish to sell, I've got some grain to sell, and you'd be taxed on all the fish go to Herod and all the best fish go over here and all the grain, and you get what's left. And it's just like there was tax and tax. There was the state tax, the Herod tax, the Roman tax. There was, you know, the whatever taxes are there. There's the Roman tribute tax, the market tax, the special offerings and religious tax. And he reduced it all to zero in the poor. It feels like Sydney, like, gosh, all the taxes, all the living, you know, financial year, the accountants were having a ball helping out everybody. Oppressing the poor. Herod took over the religious system, you know, two high priests were killed, relationship with Rome, he had the place on lockdown. And here comes Jesus saying, life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And we think here, oh, that's not us in Sydney. Nah, that's not us, that's a different time, that's the Bible time, we're good here. But what did we do when the pandemic hit? We hoarded all the toilet paper we could get. Honestly, we're hoarding everything. Hand sanitizer. Oh my gosh, like we had it stocked in the cupboard back there and, you know, just chuck it in there. We've got this hoarding spirit on the inside of us. You know, we want to hoard all this stuff. And as long as I've got what I need and I'm set, no one else I'm thinking about, I'm good. But Jesus says, no, 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 it's more blessed to give than to receive. Do not store up treasures on earth, but in heaven. Give to others. Make a meal for them. Pray for them. Share time with them. You know, it's all these things that store in heaven. And Barnabas sold property in Acts when the early church was starting. He was selling and it laid it at the apostles' feet, it says. and to expand the reach. And in Acts 4, it actually literally says that great grace was upon them all because they didn't consider any possession their own. They had this like stewardship mentality where they would give freely to everyone. And there's this amazing quote from a guy called Francis Schaeffer, a theologian, and he says this, let this land. When the horizon of concern shrinks, thinking only of me and my family, and if we've got enough, the church will cease to be the people of God for any nation, any city. So how do we get this right? If that's how to get it wrong, how are we going to get this right? You know, we have an eternal portfolio. You know, Bitcoin, stocks, investments, all that will fade away, but we've got eternal stocks, eternal treasures. And that's what we want to store up there. We don't want this hoarding thing. And when you become a Christian, your DNA will change to be generous. That is the default of a Christian. And it might feel a little bit clouded, a bit of lifestyle creep might be in your world, but today you can be transformed again to know that you store up in heaven, in heavenly things, heavenly places. Come on, amen. And we get this beautiful opportunity to exchange. It's changing it from something temporary into something eternal. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. That's number one. So I want to go on in this passage in Matthew. Number two, the eye is the lamp to the body. And let's read on here, Matthew 6, 22. You might think, what the heck does this mean? The eye is the lamp to the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will despise, be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And this is quite an interesting concept, which I think gets lost in our modern time. You might think, what the heck does optometry, whatever it is, have to do with money? What do our eyes have to do with money? And in this time, if people said you had a healthy eye, it would mean that you lived intentionally and were generous to the poor. But the opposite of this, and what the New King James Version says, is an evil eye, was the exact opposite. You look out on the world and you were distracted by all the glitters and lost your focus on those that were really in need and what truly matters. So I want to be someone with a really healthy eye. I want to be someone who has a clear perspective of where we sit in society at the top of the top of the top. And we can often look up to the billionaires and the people that are still richer above us. We look up the ladder. It's always about going up the ladder in society. But man, we are at the top. What if we just look down the ladder for a second and think of how many millions and billions of people have it worse off than us? Let our eye be full of light. And there's this movie, Schindler's List. Have you seen this? Schindler's List? Who's seen it? It's this amazing movie, very powerful, but also tragic. In the Holocaust, this German, a story about an industrialist who saved over 1,000 people from the Holocaust. And he was a German, and it was amazing. And in the final scene of this movie, Schindler's List, he says at the end, 1,000 people are standing before him. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for getting us out. Thank you, thank you. And he's looking at them all, and he's thinking, I could have got more. Look at this car. Look at this car over here. That's 10 people. Why do I have that car? 10 people right there. What about this pin on my shoulder? 2 people. Maybe 2. Definitely 1 person. And he's breaking down. He still saved 1,000 of them. But this couple of people. And I think, man, oh, we're going to get to heaven. And I'm not even going to care about what is going to be stored on this earth. Like, we're going to be in heaven. Someone else will live in our homes. Someone else will take your job one day. You know, we're going to steward it while we're here, but let's not hold on to it where it tangles the thorns and tangles the seed in our hearts. Let's get it off our chest. We want a healthy eye for everyone around us. Oh, and gosh, like one day we'll have all we need. One day we won't have to stress and worry about what are we going to do to put food on for the kids and put them through the great schools and pay for the nanny and do with this childcare and all this stuff. Like, it's just not going to matter. And our culture, sometimes we can also give out a guilt, and this is not the upside down kingdom, where people say, give your money, you're well off in the Northern Beaches. And it's like, man, we give out of this sense of like, I'll just give until it doesn't feel annoying anymore. I'll just give until I'm like in the clear. Well, we don't have to give. We get to do this as Christians. It is DNA wired in you. When you meet Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit will be in you, and it's in you today. And I'm so convicted about this because I've been so blessed. You know, I've been to this amazing school, Oxford Falls Grammar. My parents sort of looking after me all through the way. And I've got this analogy I want to share. And I'm going to get this little prop up. And man, in the 8:30 this morning, I broke down. I was just weeping when I shared this. I don't know how we'll go today. So we'll see how we do. And we've got this little analogy here. I want you to catch this. Use your imagination with me this morning. These are some chopsticks. These are some great chopsticks, but very big. And there's this Chinese parable, this little tale. So use your imagination with me. And in this life, there are giant chopsticks. And it's a bit of a picture of heaven and hell. And the idea is that in hell, there will be a banquet laid out for everyone. And they'll have these giant chopsticks. And they'll be trying to only feed themselves, and they cannot get it in their mouth. The chopsticks are way too big. No one's feeding anyone but themselves, only thinking about what they've got and if they're all good, trying to feed themselves. But in heaven, there's another banquet where the giant chopsticks still exist, but no one's going to be feeding themselves. We are all going to be feeding each other. Hey, what do you need? Bit of food for you. Bit of food for you. Oh, you need some more dumplings? Here you go, over here. Here's some more for you. Isn't this powerful? We are going to be sharing all the food. I'm not going to be, man, I'll be eating, but everyone's feeding me, and I'll be feeding them. And we're going to be just in heaven all there together. And it's this amazing picture that, man, sometimes we put a Christmas hamper together or put 20 bucks in for something, but never let it touch the way we live. How do you live? How do you live? What holidays do you go on? You know, these are good things. Don't get me wrong. Hear me right. These are good things. Let's enjoy life. Let's live well. You know, we're so blessed. But if we've got no regard for the poor, we are like rich oppressors, the Bible talks about. You know, there's a parable about storing bigger barns. Like there are bigger barns, like the man who had so much wealth, he built bigger barns and took it easy. And the Lord said, "You fool," Jesus said. The only time he ever called anyone a fool in the Gospels. "You fool, your life will be demanded of you tonight. And you are not honoring God." So we need to have this healthy eye. The eye is the lamp to the whole body. And number one, remember, storing up treasures in heaven, not treasures on earth. And to sort of close this out, if you're still on the fence, if your flesh is just screaming on the inside, Jesus just takes it home with the final chunk of this scripture. And he says, "Do not worry. Therefore, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink or about your body, what you wear, is not life more than food? Is not the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now, notice Jesus doesn't, you know, he doesn't command this again. It's this like, therefore, like out of all everything I've shared, is not the body, isn't more life more than just all this money? And He connects worry to money because we worry about what we worship. And if you worship money, it will suffocate you. It will rip families apart. I've heard the stories. I know I went at uni and everyone wanted to do commercial construction and I wanted to do residential construction. I wanted to build the homes and the door handles, you know. And in commercial, there's all these guys, they're on 400K a year, 300, 400, 500K a year. But they're like divorced, absent kids. You know, the beer guts, you know, they're alcoholics. And this, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I do not want to worship or worry or consume and be so all about me. Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry. Don't worry. You got kids who are going to get married. You got to pay for things. Got to help buy them a home. Don't worry about it. And there's real trauma. There's real struggle. There's real pain. But at the same time, the Lord's called us. We're going to suffer for the kingdom. We're going to live for the kingdom. No matter what comes our way, I will always bless others. I will always show favor and bless other people. The application today is Matthew 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So wisdom is not just knowing this stuff, it's putting it in practice. You can have knowledge upon knowledge upon knowledge if it just lives in your head. But wisdom is acting it out. So the application today is to think, who in your world is in need? Am I living an overly consumeristic life without regard to those in need? And I've, you know, was so blessed even by this amazing church, all of you, because Elle and I, when we first became the youth pastors, oh my gosh, we were so blessed. We were coming out of COVID and Mark Saundercock has this wob of cash in an envelope and says, take this and run. Someone's given it to you. They don't want a thank you or anything. Just take it. And Elle and I just could not believe it. That people would be that generous to put $1,000 in this and give it to us. And I just am so transformed by that just simple act. You know, I got to go to India and the Philippines when I was growing up, seeing these third world countries. And it has framed my life view that the flesh in me like wants stuff, but the spirit in me rises and says, you don't need it, Jess. You don't need it. Use it for others. Bless it for others. Don't hoard up this stuff. And when you resist that desire, you store generosity in your heart and it's addictive. It is actually addictive when you give. And to sort of close this out, this as well isn't just like spiritual warfare, isn't just prayer and intercessory, isn't just like worshiping and being on the amazing worship team like Charlotte and the crew. You know, spiritual warfare isn't just for the prayer team. Spiritual warfare is for the church through generosity. You are putting demons to sleep. You're putting demons away with your generosity. And there's a great quote from The Hobbit that I love. Gandalf the Grey. And I know some of you may have seen, this is Gandalf and this is what he says, the wise words of Gandalf. Some believe it is only great power that can hold evil in check. But that is not what I have found. It is the everyday deeds of the ordinary folk that keep the darkness at bay. Small acts of kindness and love keep the darkness at bay. So I challenge you today, who are you feeding with the chopsticks? Who are you feeding? Don't just feed yourself. Who are you blessing? Who are you sowing? Even if it's just making a meal, the Mullers, bless Esther and Dave Muller, bringing us a meal in midweek just to drop it off and say, hey, just thinking of you. Who could you bless? Who could you sow into? Storing up treasures in heaven. In Jesus' name. So would you all close your eyes across this place and the band can join me as we finish here. If you just need to receive Jesus today, if you've never received Jesus, this is a word for you to receive the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ here today. If that's you and you want to say yes to God, I'd love you to put your hand up and join me in this prayer to spend eternity in heaven. What more is it that you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Give your soul to Jesus today, the most important decision you ever make in your entire life. So if that's you, on the count of three, just give me a wave and I'll see it, and then we'll pray a prayer together on the count of three. One, two, three. If that's you and you want to say yes to Jesus, give me a wave right now across this place. I know there's people here to say yes to Jesus. If that's you here, Holy Spirit, thank you, God. Moving power. If you need to receive Jesus afresh today, coming back to Him, you're coming back, and you need to say yes. Or if this is the first time, just give me a wave on the count of three. There it is. Everyone here, anyone there, battling your head and your heart, the spirit and the flesh, Holy Spirit, if that's you. Thank you, Jesus. There's an amazing anointing here today. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. Let's all say this prayer together. Let's say this. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for saving me. Today, I choose to follow you for the rest of my life. I'm sorry for all my sins. Please forgive me and wash me clean. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, amen. Give it up for Jesus, everybody. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.